Ah, hello there. Don't often see travellers on this route. Why don't you come join me by the fire? Well, you're not a very talkative one. Tell you what, I'll tell you a tale. Strong language does lie ahead, but you look stout of heart. Enjoy this tale of the noobs at LARP.
So you went LARPing?
Yeah, so we went LARPing.
Yeah. I guess this will be like the story of that experience from when we first kind of decided we were going to go.
A couple of people who knew nothing about LARPing before we even attempted it, which is good fun.
And like the process from making the decision to go to like having come back from event one.
Yes.
And like our experience.
So we are
what,
4 or 5 days out from our first LARP event. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's when we start at the beginning and kind of go through what drew us necessarily to LARP, specifically to you, what drew, because you're the kind of person who kind of got everyone else into it.
So I think for me, it was kind of like this, I mean, we'd done a lot of pen and paper role playing before.
A lot of D&D.
A lot of D&D, a lot of board gaming, and then a lot of kind of computer role playing games, and then bringing you guys together and getting a really good group of players, me as GM, running you guys through a campaign, and it was a really good campaign. We were blessed with this, just kind of like a perfect storm in my feeling of just like really good players. The story was, I think, just right, and the characters really fitted it well. And it was sort of D&D through like a kind of a player-led narrative experience. It's like a storytelling game almost, rather than a role-playing game.
I think
kind of how we play D&D to some extent.
I think one of the things that's interesting about the D&D thing, which is similar to LARP already, is player-led.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that we'll talk about a lot, I think.
Yeah, and I think that was so cool about it, the way you can be dynamic with it. And even in a, it's even in LARP maybe a little bit more accentuated, because obviously when you do something player-led with your GM, he's making a tailored experience for you based on what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
While in LARP, obviously, you have like multi-concurrent experiences like that going on through different individuals seeking different things all the time. And how they kind of interact with each other.
Hundreds of tiny little narratives all existing.
Thousands.
In ways. Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting. Like, every person essentially is like a node ready to kind of send ripples out.
Yeah. That's a lovely way to put it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it's essentially just like thinking of like someone's just picked up rather than
We're getting way too ahead of ourselves at this stage.
Yeah. But it's interesting. And this is the hype. This is part of the hype, and I think the hype that Phil still feel, right? And it's kind of interesting.
So let's go back, right? So
let's go back.
Into D&D.
Yeah.
When did you first hear about Empire?
Okay, so it would be through a colleague at work who worked there 2 years ago.
Right.
I knew that he role-played, and it was one of those things where he was looking at something on a website, came up to him, talked to him, you know, talking about D&D. He mentioned that obviously, then he mentioned he did a thing called LARPing, and he did it at an event called Empire. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of it. Okay? And that was just hearing about it.
Yeah.
So
what were your initial
thoughts of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bear
like
in mind,
LARP from someone who has no intention to go LARPing.
Exactly. From that intention, of course, the thing that flashes to your head is those kind of cringy things of like people throwing beanbags, saying fireball, you know, fireball, lightning bolt, that kind of stuff.
It's awful. It's my initial, like, even just thinking about it, the people that I know that have been LARPing are cool people.
Yeah.
But like, I just very judgmental.
Judgmental. But I think that's normal. I think what most people experience until you kind of make that decision to go. And then all of a sudden, if you have the flip on it, where you're like, yeah, no, I can see how this would be really fucking cool and I want to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think, anyway, we'll go back to like.
Yeah, so you met this guy.
We had a chat. He's a cool guy. But at the time, we were more acquaintances than friends necessarily. So it was kind of like, just essentially, I mean, when we asked,
you're aware of it being a thing.
Thing, right? And it's a thing in his life, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. I'd seen the Darkon movie, which
Darkon's
kind of
so good.
A really interesting look at an American role playing system. And I would say, actually, I really feel, obviously biased maybe, but like, Empire was better than that. Better than what they seemed to have. Like the fact they didn't have the swords and the gear that we
had. Over this whole period, I haven't thought about Darkon once. And that's like, that's really interesting. Because I love Darkon. I might watch it again, actually, with fresh eyes.
I really highly recommend it. Great documentary.
Okay, so then...
From that...
Yes.
From that, then, fast forward, it has to be the Hat Films video. Well, it wasn't Hat Films, sorry. Mark Humes's Tabletop Weekly video,
yes,
where he has Hat Films along. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Hat Films fan. We'd obviously... I knew that Mark Humes kind of played with them a lot, and they did various games together, so I inevitably went off and watched his kind of Splinter channel when he made it. Tabletop Weekly released this video called Free Men Go LARPing. I'm sure a bunch of you will probably have heard of it.
Yeah, it's had a dramatic effect, let me put that, on a number of people.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that go because of that video, right? The numbers are higher for a reason. But anyway, so from there, I sort of, just through listening to that, I was like, yeah, no, this is something I would actually be interested in doing. Yeah. But it was that kind of nervous thing of like, I would do it with friends.
Did you approach me first? Or?
Yeah, you were the first person. The first one. I was like...
Like a pusher out on the street, just looking for business.
And what was interesting, this is where you, I mean, from here you'll be able to take over the story. I pass it to you, Dave, and I'm like, this is an interesting video. It's basically how I say it. Like, I'm interested in this kind of thing.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. And I would say, like, okay.
We have to do it, right?
Me and Ian have known each other for our entire lives, effectively, the benefit of people that don't know, right? So when he says, oh, this is something that you're going to be interested in, even if I think it looks ridiculous, I'll definitely look at it, like 100%. And my immediate reaction was, Ian loves Hat Films.
Yeah.
You love everything that Hat Films do.
I do.
And therefore, I'm going to take this with a giant pinch of salt.
Yeah.
And watch the video.
Yeah.
By the end of the video, I was like, this seems like something that we could do, and it could be fun, right? But immediately, my big concern is not even really the people, right? It's more the expense.
Yeah,
that was my initial first absolute.
I remember your
barrier.
First message to me, because this is interesting. Thinking, I'm not going to quote it verbatim. We're doing this over just like Facebook's chat thing, but you messaged back and said it looks interesting or something, but I'm not sure or something, or that like you didn't think it was something you'd necessarily do or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was such an initial response. And then like 2 days later, you messaged me again. And I haven't talked to you in between that time about the video or whatever. And you say to me, we could do this.
Well, this is the...
So that was an interesting thing. What happened for you during that? I might be wrong with the 2 day thing. I can't remember how many. It was a period of time between that other message.
I'm pretty sure I watched it again.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure I watched the whole thing front to back again.
Right, interesting.
And it was like, okay, here's another thing. I live in Milton Keynes, and the Empire event is in near Silverstone, which is literally just a stone's throw away.
So you Googled it after the image and found out where it was, right?
No, well, I kind of had a, you know, it's not, I think they mentioned it in the video, I think, or something like that. Right. And then, anyway, I was thinking, it's not very far away. I didn't know really what to expect. And I was thinking, like, man... You know, okay, let me put it this way, right? When we talk about, like, me wanting to buy a VR headset, oh, man, it's all I ever... When I was a little kid, that's all I ever wanted to do was to buy a VR headset and play with it. And it's like, that's what kind of LARP is as well. There's a little bit of side of me that's like a kid going, just go do it for 14-year-old me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Go out there and LARP, you son of a bitch. Like... It's now's the time. Now's the time.
It's so, the bit of you that wants to hark back to that childhood experience.
Yeah, to believe that it will be good.
Yeah.
Right? Like just to think that, like, yeah, we're gonna go LARPing, me and you, and eventually another friend, which is great.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna find out what that whole thing's about, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, as I said, it's that childhood part of you that enjoyed like the Bang You're Dead. Like, we're playing characters from media and stuff, running around the playground, acting things out.
Totally.
Sort of thing. It's the part of you... And that sort of sounds demeaning and like it's saying it's
it
like a
childhood
thing.
It sounds terrible.
But what I'm really saying is it's that part of you, that core part of the that desires
play.
To lose
it's
yourself
play, right?
In the act
it's
of play.
It's the purest version of play almost, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's interesting because it's a play as in drama and it's also a play as in the act of playing a game. It's a very interesting... And it brings
yeah, but at this stage, I also want to say, having just been,
yeah,
like, we'll get into expectations versus reality,
yeah, yeah.
But it's certainly not what I expected, no. Right? Like, no, it's
so many
it's,
different ways
in 101 different ways, it is not what I thought it was going to be, yeah. And that be that. And most of those are positive, to be honest.
Yes.
Or
yes.
And even, like, you can even rank on a scale, right? Like, if you expect something to be a certain colour and it's a different colour, that doesn't mean it's necessarily
exactly.
better or worse.
Exactly, right? Exactly. I think for all the things that you would maybe think were negatives, it's more a case of a tonal shift or a slight, oh, it's actually like that kind of experience.
Yeah, this is what it's like, you know? Holding a sword and a shield, standing in front of a battle line.
Jesus. It was so good.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's not get ahead of ourselves.
So anyway,
again.
Yeah, we're going ahead of ourselves.
No, okay, so then I think I said yes.
Yeah.
You got Bung in, who's a friend of ours, a guy called Chris. We all call him Bung or Bungle.
Yeah, so that happened at their podcast, which was Rambling Vapors. And yeah. During the... I mentioned that I was going to be going LARPing. There was just a mention of it. Bungle said, oh, sounds interesting. Yeah. During the break we had between the two segments in that podcast, we... I just sort of talked about it more, and I sort of said, oh, you know, look at some of the weapons and stuff that you can get, okay?
You're
that's what
such,
I showed him. I know. It was
a
so
pusher.
It was
you're
such
like
a filthy pusher.
Old school, like, what parents are warned about on their neighbourhoods. This guy come around being like, do you want a little bit of, fancy a little bit of D&D there, son? Why don't we just roll a couple of dice?
Yeah.
See how it feels?
Yeah.
Then we can maybe... I've made you a character sheet.
Oh.
You don't even need to do that.
Oh, how generous.
Just, why don't we sit down and...
Okay.
See what happens. You're in a dungeon.
I get to roll this 20-sided
you're in
dice.
You're in a dungeon. Oh. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah, it's very
yeah.
aggressive after that. Yeah,
so anyway, I get him to look at a couple of the weapons and stuff, and I was talking about the kind of things I wanted, like what I was thinking of doing my character. And then, like, an even filthier pusher, I thought Bungle loves, like... big hammers
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So I was like, oh yeah, they do war hammers. And
like
they look
a
legit as fuck.
A two-handed, yeah. long...
Straight out of like, you could get one that you would think it belonged literally physically on the page of a White Dwarf magazine.
Yeah, those things look awesome. And yeah, they are no less spectacular when you see them
yeah.
in reality,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I have no idea how you fight with one.
Yeah.
But just to see someone with one.
So interesting that he opted from those to go for the double swords.
Yeah,
anyway, we'll get into
swords.
That later.
Yeah.
But so I get Bungle into it that way, but I just mentioned to him at that point. And of course, he said the same thing and thought the same thing, I think, that you thought and I thought. The expense was a big issue, right?
Man,
trying to do it on a budget
oh
puts the fear in you. Right?
God, just the budget, like immediately, the budget was the thing that freaked me out because I couldn't see. I did some Googling,
mm-hmm.
as is the done thing, right? I did some Googling and I found out good armor
mm-hmm.
is like
really expensive,
big money,
big
and that's
money.
Just like one bit. And I was like, there's,
yeah,
it's too much, especially when even talking about the idea of camping in character,
yeah. And we knew that very early, if we were going to do it, that's what we were going to do.
Yeah.
We did say...
Did we get the... I think tent was one of the first things we got, right?
I think that was what sealed it. That's what made
yes.
sure that when we got the tent, we were in.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because at that point, that's a massive
not,
expense.
How much did we get the tent for?
It's pretty reasonable, but it was off Gumtree, I think.
Well, like 300 quid, something
might
like 400
that,
quid.
It was 200.
It was something like that.
I think it was, yeah, 200.
Okay, whatever.
Let's call it.
We both pitched in together.
Yeah.
Drove to
you,
almost,
you got it. You
almost
got it.
Well, I drove to
yeah.
almost Wales and met a lovely lady and bought a tent off her.
Yeah.
And we didn't open that tent because it's been in my poxy little flat where I can't really have a look at it properly until pretty much the event.
Well, until the yeah. You had a look at it, but you never put it up, right?
No, I had no idea. I mean, it looked good, but it was in absolute
really good.
Tip-top condition.
Really
anyway,
good.
So... Let's go through. Oh, okay, I'll quickly blast through
right.
how I source my gear.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
then we'll... You can
yeah,
kind of interject
yeah.
and then...
I think our experiences of getting it is maybe...
Well, do you
want to
start?
Bounce off each
because
other.
You probably...
So
you went further on, right?
Yeah,
like
so...
You at the beginning.
I think there's two ways of looking at it. And I you can either basically... If you try and do it on a budget and you still want stuff that is...
For the record, I went budget.
Yeah.
Like, I went... Before we even start this,
you did
you're not
really well.
You're not listening to two guys who spent thousands on this.
No.
This is literally two guys Like, Ian, I think you spent a fair old whack, but I think you got total value. And I also went cheap, and I didn't really feel that my stuff didn't keep up, you know?
Weapons aside, I think if you look at our experiences of getting money, getting armor, mm-hmm. And things like that, they're very different. I opted the route of building mine, mm-hmm. and Dave went down the route of you got it cheap on eBay.
eBay.
In a great bartering. Steal. What a good purchase that was.
Well, what did you get first? What was the first thing you
So the first thing got? I decided, obviously, I was going to just see if I could make armor. So I do like a couple of YouTube videos. Bear in mind, I've never done it before at all.
When you even said that you were attempting this, I had my doubts.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those people, Dave. You know, I mean, this is a fatal flaw in me. I'm a good starter of projects, right?
Right.
So
no, but I feel like, but even then, like the
But that's what I mean. I'm a great starter project.
I'm going to learn about at least three different type of textiles,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to work out how to cut those, shape them, fit mm-hmm. them, bolt them all together,
yeah.
and that not to look completely ridiculous.
So outfit one, I decided to make, and I just got lots of cheap leather and just got all the tools. And it did cost a fair old whack to do this. But once you've got all the tools, of course, they're there forever. So I can just keep doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually a really good investment, because if you think you're going to enjoy the act of making
stuff.
But
you enjoyed it, right?
Right, yeah.
This is the other thing. Did you enjoy it when you first sat down and did it? Or did you enjoy it over time?
I think I enjoyed it straight away. Mm-hmm. And I think because I literally just flew into it in the sense of doing it is a big job in terms of, like, you need to actually, like, say you want to make some armor, you're going to get a big sheet of material. That means laying it out in your living room or something mm-hmm. big, right? You've got to kind of commandeer that space. So, which is difficult, right? And then you've got to actually just do it. And you've got to sort of, you've got that kind of grown up person's time limit on things, but you don't really have a time limit because you're the adult,
mm-hmm.
but you have a time limit because everything else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have, you know, you're going to have to pack it up at a certain point in the evening. You're going to have to, and that's a massive ball ache, all of that sort of stuff. So I had, like, the excitement build up to, like, when am I going to get that time to do it? Obviously, I got my stuff, all my tools and things. So when I got them, I had the hype of, like, I'm going to be using these things on this project that I'm going to do with this particular time to fit in. Then I just flew into it. And I'd kind of done a lot of forethought into how it was going to be, how the armor was going to be made. And my first piece I made, I really wanted it to so I could actually unconstruct the whole thing. And take it all apart, that I could do it on site, and I could literally just take apart every, because it was all going to be done with rivets and no stitching.
Like a stripper's outfit, you could just rip it off.
I could literally just take the whole thing apart and fix any problem with it. That's the design one. And it worked, but it just was, I could tell it was way, like a complete unnecessary sort of utility to really be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went, let's just make better armor. And went into suit two, and that's when it really, I think, took on an idea of, like, it's got to be quick to put on.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's basically like a, how do you describe it? Like a leather, thick leather.
Yeah, it's a thick leather
tunic?
Torso.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I mean,
tunic with sort of aluminium plates
riveted on
it, right? So it's kind of, I guess, like some kind of studded leather, essentially,
mm-hmm.
Or a mail of jacks. A jack of mail, sorry, or splint mail combined with leather. But yeah, it's kind of cool.
I think it looks great, and I think it definitely looks the business when you're in.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to put on, actually, that part of it. I mean, I had other costume problems that took ages to put on.
Let's get into that later.
So that was my route. So while I was doing that. That's how I went about building my armor, and I could tell you the physical armor, if it was just materials and you didn't care about time, you could make my armor for 25 quid, I reckon. There's a lot of man hours involved in that, so your time is
in
itself.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes,
yeah.
And a lot of watching YouTube videos and reading articles and
Just
getting that down and doing it, right?
Yeah, you just have to go and do it, right? And then it's like, once you've done it and you've made a few mistakes and you realise that ultimately the materials are pretty cheap, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're after a certain aesthetic, if you're not looking to do something like full plate or stuff like that. Although, with enough time, even that isn't that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just all about how much time you want to chuck in.
And also, like, there's a weird RP to it as well, I think.
Right. It is cool to have made my armor.
Yes.
Like there is a but then I think yours is even slightly different as well, because yours has actually been made for you to a certain extent.
Well, it's been adjusted, right?
For you.
Right? So basically, okay, so I was looking for armor on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at eBay. I very rarely use it. So when I was out there, I was like, this is so cheap. It's only got 3 days to go, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, by the way, did you not know in the last half day to 20 minutes, it just gets...
Everyone goes crazy.
Fucking crazy town. And I was like, I can't keep up with these big boys, you know?
Yeah.
And
And for the record, they were buying suits and stuff for about 70 quid on eBay, which is pretty good, actually, if you look at like market prices and stuff.
No, it was way over that. Like, some of the stuff was going for, like, the stuff that I really liked the look of, that was at least 200 every single time there was a spin of a dice. And it was just like, man.
That is true. There is different grades. And this is no judgment on anybody's costume. And, like, ours is certainly by no means the best.
Mine is not great.
There is an obvious kind of thing of, like, if you spend money or if you spend time, you look amazing. Like,
but we will also get to the thing that also all this stuff, if you want to battle in it and you happen to go on a weekend where it rains the entire time, you might potentially have to lie down in the mud or get muddy, right?
So, yeah.
But yeah, so, okay, I found what you found and then Matt said to me.
Yeah, take a look.
Dragon Age. Is it Dragon Age?
Yeah, it's Dragon Age Origins. And there's this.
Right, and it's a black... Like, it's like a gimp.
It's really like a gimp. It's a
really
outfit.
Gimpy.
Yeah.
Like, it's. And I looked at it and I was just like, there's no fucking way. When you first showed it to me, I was like, fuck. I was like, I'm never going to find armor this cheap because, one, it was damaged, right? It had some minor damage to it that needed repair. You were like, I can fix that. Yeah. I can fix that shit.
Yeah. By that time, I'd done enough where I was like, yeah, I can.
But it was. It's very bondagey. Because it's all black leather, tight black leather.
Which isn't Navarre.
It's not Navarre, which is the nation that we get to.
Oh, yeah.
But the shoulder pads are ludicrous.
The shoulder pads were absolutely ludicrous.
They are like Tina Turner-esque, right? They are big and ridiculous. So and totally impractical. Can't really move your arms in them. Terrible.
Looks way better without them as well.
Like, we got to the day before the event. Because you have been fixing it, repairing it, doing awesome stuff.
But this is the other thing. You never actually got to physically wear your armor to the day before.
No, and then we put it on, and I put the shoulder pads on, and I was like, I was deeply unhappy about the shoulder pads. So we just ditched them.
Way better.
And it's just like, and it works the character. I love it.
Yeah.
Got a couple of other bits. So we used a website. What was the website they went to? That's the cheap one in China.
Oh, Wish.
Wish.
Yeah. Wish was really good, actually.
Wish is, if you want to save some dollar and you do not mind it being very thin or maybe doing the wrong size or something.
Yeah.
To be fair, we didn't have that many bad experiences, but it is cheap-ass stuff, right?
It might not survive the event, right?
Yeah, like, but that's okay because it's so cheap that it's like, oh, man. Anyway, so trousers, like, what are they called? Poet shirts, are they? What do they call those?
Just the tunics, the tunics.
Yeah, they're like medieval style
tunics with like the tie up wrists and the laced
collar. Yeah, and those were, you bought like a bunch. Like one pair of like a shirt.
Yeah,
and that was pretty much it for my.
So, doing this obviously, I was doing a lot of shopping around on the internet.
You
I think I was sending you
our
a lot.
Asses. Okay, without those clothes.
Yeah,
I don't know what story will tell you.
Yeah.
But the ones, luckily, think of it all the way through that the rest of it is only because of those clothes that you got, basically. Yeah. I also bought a utility kilt.
Yes,
so we all joined, obviously, the Facebook groups. So there's like, we joined the Empire LARP one.
Mm-hmm.
We also joined Navarre because we picked Navarre.
Yeah, what made you go for Navarre? This was always because you suggested Navarre.
This is a guy at work. I no longer work for him, but he's going to come with us to the next event.
Right.
A guy called... when there's two Daves in a workplace, bear in mind, I've worked there for 5 years.
Yeah.
He comes in on a temporary contract, right?
Yeah.
He is known as Good Dave, and I'm known as Bad Dave.
Wow.
Within the first couple of days, it was very fast. It was like a blitzkrieg. He's so charismatic and charming. Wow.
You're a charismatic motherfucker, Dave.
This guy blows me out of the water. He is
such
a nice gen. He's a veteran, Ian. He served in Afghanistan.
Right.
He's legit, like a brave, good. He's married. He loves his wife. He's just had a baby, actually, a couple of days ago.
I know. Yeah,
he's a wonderful, wonderful human
Congratulations,
being.
Congratulations, dude. Looks great.
And basically, I said to him, I was just shooting the shit. And I'm the sort of person that will talk about LARP, potentially.
Yeah.
So we were on a late shift, which is just me and him. And it's very dull. And I'm basically telling him what to do occasionally. And I'm like, but it's really a one-person job.
Yeah.
So I said to him about this LARP stuff. And went, what's the deal with that? So I showed him the video.
You pushed it.
No, I didn't. I really didn't. It was more like I was, to be honest, on those late shifts, you'll end up talking about a lot of things that you don't realize. I mean, you're just...
Interesting side note, though. Did you find like the idea of like talking about it and being willing to talk about it?
I'm still extremely uneasy.
No, so I talk about it a lot. Right now,
I work in an environment that I just don't want to have to explain myself to people.
Yeah,
to be completely honest, it's like there's a lot of people.
Well, I've just kind of mentioned I'm going LARPing or I'm doing this, I won't kind of go into details and people unless people ask, you know what I mean?
I think we work in very different environments. Places, definitely, for sure. But yeah, the and he watched it and absolutely loved it and raved about it, so yeah. I can't remember what the original question was now, but
but it was just basically how we kind of brought it in.
Oh, Navarre.
Yeah, Navarre, that was it.
Right, so, and Dave, he looked at it, and then he started going through the company that runs Empire is called Profound Decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Profounddecision.com? Profound Decisions,
yeah.
.co.uk?
You'll find it.
Yeah, Empire LARP, just Google it, you'll find it. They have a whole thing on the website. You build a character, which is massively intimidating and still is, to be fair. Yeah. They try and do it in the most user-friendly way possible.
I mean, they do it very well, actually, but ultimately,
oh, it's me. That's not even... The user interface is not to blame. It's going to be like, that's who I am. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to fuck this up. Oh, I'll do this character now. Oh, I'll do this character now.
Yeah, and it's also like that whole... You kind of... Going to LARP as well, there is that whole expectations and reality thing. And then you have, like, you know yourself and what your own limits are. Mm-hmm. And it's like you'll have an image of your character and your backstory and stuff. And I guess there's... You know, everybody wants to have the slightly tragic past and all this kind of stuff.
I think everybody has a tragic past.
Yeah.
Like, well, anyone that we really spoke to.
Yeah.
I think that is a massive noob trope. That
yes,
people
of
do.
Course. Yeah.
And I think that's just something that I'm completely fine with mine.
I think so. Like, I think, yeah. I think, though, that you kind of learn very quickly that, like, if you chose to play that kind of stays by himself, big-time loner kind of character, you know what I mean?
It would really
be the worst.
Like, honestly, I get the feeling you could probably do that if you had been going to LARP for a while and knew lots of people.
Yeah.
Right? Because then at least people would interact with you. Like, no one goes there and be like... Oh, I want to talk to this asshole who's just going to basically monologue at me about his character. Nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Unless you're a fantastic orator.
Yeah.
Which the loner probably won't be.
But it's not even that. It's more like that idea of playing that character who is just sort of stays on the edge of the bar and never, you know, interacts.
Actually,
like kind of.
Okay, hold on. Maybe we are being a little bit judgmental here because maybe. There are people out there,
right,
who just want to go and watch.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But what I'm saying is, like, there's a lot of that in LARP.
But
like,
you shouldn't have to limit yourself, right?
But if you choose to be a character whose sort of stick is that they're just going to be rude to people and sort of hang on their own, then maybe you won't get the best experience out of it, because the best experience out of it is obviously meeting people to a certain extent and engaging with them. But if obviously you chose not to do that, then you're missing out on a big aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as, you know, it's really just corely that like, I think you'll have a lot more fun if you try and have fun. And that means that your character will necessarily have to be a little bit more, have a bit more play in them than if you went for that kind of, oh, I have the worst tragic past and I can't get over it and I'm kind of in a shell all the time kind of character. I think you'd be hindering yourself.
Yeah, I thought that there was a lot of stuff to do with the different sorts of people that were there at the actual event. And I thought they were... I mean, we'll get to this, but I thought they were a really fantastic mix of people. Where
really
you could
good.
Tell people
really good
that potentially people. Weren't necessarily comfortable, right? Yeah.
I wasn't comfortable a lot of the time.
Goddamn! On the flip side of that, right, you have like people who are awkward, and that's fine. And there's nothing like literally.
No, that is completely fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing about your actual even having a conversation. There's nothing fine about that. I'm just purely talking about a character archetype
of
desiring
mm-hmm.
to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing
a good
about
distinction, though. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but from the on the flip side of that, there are some insanely charismatic, fascinating, wonderful human beings.
The singers at the Stories and Songtime thing were ridiculously good. It was like I'd paid.
If I would pay, if I'd paid 25 quid to get a front row seat,
yeah,
I would have had it. I would have felt like I'd got my money.
It almost felt like for that, it could be like the money that I spent to go to the event. I could have easily have gone to like a multi-day folk festival or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that could, I could easily have made the same choice. The music was that good.
And it was so well put together. It was like everyone's RPing, but it's like a well put together West End show.
And when other people come up to the campfire and they actually have something in character to share around the campfire to people who are in character. It's incredible because you have literally, that's a bit, I don't know if you want to go to this part yet, but basically when Wintermark came in.
Whoa, not yet. We've got no.
That's a really
There's going to be a line here. We're bumping across that line right now. Rough shot.
Pull me back. Reel me in, Dave.
Jesus, we got so close to actually talking about the event then.
We need to pull it back. Oof. So.
Okay, so we
Dave's in. At that point, he does join the group. Yeah.
We should talk about our little trip to LARPCon, was it?
Yeah, LARPCon.
Which was, I don't even, can't remember which town it was. It was a lovely little town, though.
It was really nice. It was somewhere in Gloucestershire, wasn't it?
Was it Gloucester somewhere? There's a lot of
stuff
in there. Might have been.
It was fantastic, anyway.
There's a feral clip in the car, wasn't it? But it was all right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I came over to yours. We headed off together. You know, we had a look around. We got there kind of a bit later than maybe we should have, I guess.
Way later. But it
was just the way it was.
Yeah, we just messed about anyway, didn't we?
It was a good time. But we had a pretty brisk look
around. It's basically like a sales place where these people can come along, put their stalls up, sell their merchandise, and they put it in like an old abbey or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Really nice touch. Really cool. And it really got you in the mood, right? So we get there, and it's just, there's just people that are like a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes.
A lot of girls though, actually, to be fair.
Oh man, like, okay, for the record, I'm stating it now, I'm not going to go on about it, but deeply attractive people, both men and women, attend LARP.
Yeah,
right. Really. We are not talking about just this stereotypical a bunch of nerds yelling fireball at each other, right? We're talking like these people are fucking cool. They're like really, really fucking cool people. Anyway, we went around. Yeah. We had a bit of a shop. I managed to find because I obviously am going massive budget on everything. I'm looking at swords for like £60, £70. I'm like, oh, that's too much.
I'm looking to go similar kind of budget, but I also know that I'll easily break and just buy the most amount of stuff.
Ian did his pieces. He took one look at a bow right at the start and a hood, and he was just like, for the rest of the day, you could see his eyes just ever so often would drift away thinking about it. But are you thinking about that bow again? Oh, are you thinking about that? Just concentrate on what we're doing here. Oh,
it's beautiful. So I've got this thing from Chow's Emporium, I think it is. And it's this three-part segmented composite bow. And it's like, it's coloured like it's made out of bone. And it just, it's perfect. Because I previously bought my other bow, which is actually really nice. But it's a £30.
He already had a bow.
Yes, yeah. He fell
in love with another bow. You can't use two bows.
No, you can't.
That is not a practical. You can't do.
So, but this other bow I had was a £30 bow, and £30 is the limit for a bow at LARP. And if you've done archery, you'll know that there's always a slight poundage variance on a bow. It can be up and it can be down, and you know you can warm your bow up. I won't go into too much, but that will kind of help reduce the poundage a bit. But ultimately, I didn't really want to be in the situation where I could hurt someone or even. In a way, I wasn't really worried so much about that. Just the idea that I may take something and they'll calculate it. Oh, their poundage weighting thing is slightly different and it gets banned and then I can't use it. So I thought, I was nervous about that. And I thought, I want to cut that level of nerves out. So I'm just going to get this other bow, which is £26. So I'm talking about poundages and draw weight here.
It's a beast!
It looks so good.
Oh, it's so good.
But yeah, a lot
and
of
the hood looked legit that you bought there.
Yeah, and my sword. My sword.
I bought really good. A raggedy axe and a raggedy shield.
Yeah.
And We literally walked through every single place, and I think it's the last place, right at the end of this, over into the circuit, right?
Yeah.
It's the
last place. I think they were getting ready to pack up as well.
Yeah, and they were just a bunch of very cool dudes.
Yeah.
And they were just like, what's going on? I went, we're just browsing. I went, how much for the, I looked at the shield, and I went, oh, that can maybe be a buckler. It's not a buckler, it's bigger than a buckler, but
yeah,
it's like a, and then the other thing, I said, like, what about the axe? And he went, oh, I'll give you an offer. And I was ready to just be like, we talked to a couple of vendors, and it was the start of the season, and they were like, we're not doing any discount prices or anything because it's the start of the season. So, and I love me a good haggler, things like that. And they were just, to get a cold no, I was like, I was disgusted. Ian. I was disgusted, wasn't I? You won't even humour the idea. Let's talk. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, anyway. Yeah. This is the shield. Look at this raggedy ass axe. That's about, I don't know, a metre long, something like that, however long that is. And he went, I'll sell you both for 40 quid. And I was just like, I just can't say no to that.
No, it was so good. Like, you saw his will we just met instantly each other. Break.
It was like us monstering on the first day, Ian. Oh, we capitulated. We
capitulated immediately.
So, like, it was a total pants down, bend over.
Spoilers, by the way, but we get munted. Oh, we get badly just, munted.
Let's not even talk. Let's only talk about that when we have to. Jesus.
All right. So we get
the gear. We also met a lovely couple selling stuff there.
Yeah, who the two were orcs. Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect of a young couple that want to be orcs, but they were an absolute delight, weren't they?
Like, and super attractive.
Yeah.
Lovely people.
They were just...
And it was just like, you both look great. Why would you want to put an orc mask on?
It's like those people that you look at and go like, man, their lives must be like so fucking sweet. Look how attractive and nice and friendly and happy they are. They're they're like genuinely fucking happy all the time. And then they're like, what nation do you play? Orcs. What? So you wear the mask? Yeah, and we do a lot of shouting and fighting. It's like, really? That's what you do.
Another thing, like having gone orcs, there is a temptation. Don't tell me you're not tempted for orcs.
Orcs are amazing. We'll get to some good orc stories later.
Orc RP is a great book. Top draw.
Like they might be my favourite nation that I've
orcs are incredible. Out there. Some of the best experiences, but we'll get to those. Yeah,
absolutely. So we've got our tent.
Yeah.
Got our gear that you've made, that you've edited for me. Bungle, even like coming up to the event, he was like, we were worried about Bung for a while, weren't we?
There was a lot
of stuff that he needed to get and then didn't do it. And then he just went, I've ordered everything.
Yeah.
Everything I will need.
His kit was immediately better than both of our kits.
I mean, he dropped some dollars
on it. But
God damn, did he look
pays off.
Fucking his amazing.
Armor with his dreadlocks.
Jesus.
He could legit have been on a set of a big budget
Bungle movie. Bungle is a stout man with a fantastically large beard and dreadlocks, right? Yeah. And you put a set of
medium leather armor. He's got the piercings and stuff as well.
A piece of medium leather armor on that, Ian. And it's just like, good lord. Double sword.
Yeah.
So he leant back, like when he was standing, he could put both one hand on one sword and one hand on the other in his sheath.
His wrists on his
sword. And just lean back, like he was sitting in an armchair while standing. Just like pimping since pimping was pimping.
Yeah, he looked incredible.
Amazing.
And it was just that he could legit have been on the set, though, of like something like Vikings, right?
Yeah.
Or, like, no question. He could have been on like a historical movie, and you would have said, oh, he's like a hero character. He looked that good. It was fantastic.
We need to go through one more thing, which is, what skills did you take?
This was an interesting one. I did mine early, and I knew kind of what I wanted early.
I did mine extremely late.
Yeah. I think, we'll get to you in a second, I suppose. But for me, it was like, I've always enjoyed playing like the support class in games, and I kind of enjoy always
your healer. More. Or whatever.
Yeah, so essentially I went for a healer class, and I was like, I was really into my sort of Mongol kind of trip, and I was like, which I still am in massively.
Spoilers, the Mongols will come up a lot when Ian really starts to wax lyrical and stuff.
Yeah, so I was like really in my kind of fanboyism height, this is the other thing, because when you guys said Navar, I'll be honest with you, my first thing was like, oh, I'm not sure, like, Navarre look a bit you know, sort of tree people. I'm not really that into it kind of vibe.
Navarre are people of the trees. They go on long scouting missions and walk these trods that are like these pathways. We don't really know a lot of stuff at this point, so we will butcher stuff and get it wrong.
Yeah, oh no, totally, totally. But for me, it was like, I didn't really like that archetype as a thing. I was like, I'm not really sure I want to play that kind of character, to be honest. I sensed that
doubt, but then felt like we were on a course.
You guys wanted it, so I was like, I've got the guys coming, and I don't really, you know, I'll play anything was kind of my attitude. And I will say that my expectation, so my thoughts and fears regarding Navarre, in that respect, it was completely unfounded. And it was just, I think it was just based off... Dude,
strength to the Empire.
Strength to Navarre.
Fuck yes! That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I fell in love with Navarre, and I have to say, and we'll get to that later on. And it was a really great choice. It was just, it was weird. I think it was just, I didn't want to be Robin Hood, or I didn't want to be that kind of, in that archetype, or have that druidic vibe. I didn't really want that.
The tree elf aspect.
Yeah, I really didn't want that.
I just felt it would be very, everyone's just a bit easily offended, and like it's just a bit and it's just a bit lame,
fey folkish, and talking about the trees and some kind of, it's like, I didn't want that. And actually it turns out it's nothing like that. not at all like that.
Navarre, like fighting, drinking, singing songs, and just generally just having a laugh in the face of danger type attitude. Fuck, like
the song we sang when we went to battle was so good.
Oh man,
we'll get to that. So anyway, so that was my fear with regards to going to picking Navarre. And then it was kind of like that sort of led when I actually got into it and we played it.
So you're RPing into your character sheet, right?
Yeah. So it was kind of it's like, okay, so I'll go for an archer build, because I actually really wanted to play something like Varushka or something like that, because they had that slightly Eastern European. I could get ever so closer to the Eurasian steppe.
I didn't know about them.
Right.
And now I know about them. They're okay with me. They're cool. They're pretty fucking cool.
So, yeah, I was kind of into that kind of vibe. So I kind of went for a mash of the two with regards to my skills. I thought, right, I really want to be an archer. I know there's no horses in the game, but the best I can do is be an archer.
As we all know, Ian, there were horses in Empire, but they all died.
They all died.
So if you do talk about them, you can talk about them like they're unicorns.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no. So, but that, so anyway, so that's why I went my route. So I went straight on marksmanship and then...
Surgeon and physic. They're separate things.
So it's actually, I can, the spellings are a little bit weird, but it's basically surgeon is I can get people up, and that's what lets me get people up on the battlefield.
Right.
And then physic is what gives me all the herbs and stuff that means I can do stuff to them.
Okay.
So I kind of thought, at first, you see, I wasn't going to take that. I was just going to be, so only gets people up on one HP, but it just doesn't really work if you do that like that, I don't think.
For me, when I was just picking skills, I was such a rabbit in the headlights for the entire time. I just couldn't look at me. Also, this came down to also, I don't think we need to go too much into our characters, basically. But when we did go through that process of coming up with our characters, we bounced a lot of ideas off each other and thought about it a lot. And I literally went into a kind of weird creative slump where I just couldn't nail the, but as we got Kit, that was one thing, right? Laying my hand on the axe and the shield cemented a lot of stuff in that character that I was like, okay, this is who the fuck. And I'm talking, this is before the LARP, pre-LARP, as you might say, the who I thought the character was, that's now changed, I think.
Yeah.
But so for character skills, once I'd written out my little blurb, which obviously had a bit of a tragedy in it, because
we're noobs.
It's a light noob character. You've got to have a little bit of a tragedy. I went for like just basically almost like a brawler, right?
Yeah.
So I have a shield.
I think I've got most people will do that, right?
I've got cleave, which is quite a nice skill where if you yell cleave when you hit someone on a body part.
Which sounds way more crazy than it is, actually. It's actually really legit.
There was one guy,
right,
in one of this in a skirmish that we were in.
Right.
It was a young guy, and he only had a sword, and he was playing the Velorn guy.
Right, right.
It was like these slow moving zombies, and they go as they approach you. He's coming up to me, and he's doing a really good job at acting all slow, right, as he's approaching me, and I just go, cleave. I've never used it before. I just wanted to see what it did, right? The guy just goes, oh, he generally had a look of, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? Drops his sword, And then just kind of looks at me. And then I'm watching him, and then three other people stab him. And that was my first interaction with how I use my my skill. So when it comes to skills, I feel like I made the right decision, going a little bit fighty.
Yeah, I think
I haven't changed them.
No,
I haven't changed them. So I feel like, because there's a whole range of stuff you can spend your skills on, and like where you are over between things, so you can get money or in-game resources, or I mean, there's a shit ton of stuff that I don't really understand at this stage. So I haven't changed anything yet, because I want to just see, I want to get to know things before we do that. Right, so we've gone through.
Yeah. And yeah, so we've got all our kits sorted.
We've got kit, we've got
characters.
Characters, how we got involved in it. We've got what we, how much we, okay, what, how much we got our gear for, leading all the way up to the event. We're, I mean, I feel like we're...
Let's just dive into it.
We're at the event. So I reckon we're going to stop now, Ian.
Okay.
And we're going to come back, and then we're going to do the LARP itself.
Yeah, the LARP itself. Well, prepare yourselves. It's a good one.
Well, unfortunately, I must be on, young traveller. But maybe our paths will cross again, and I'll be able to continue with the story of the noobs at LARP.